And welcome to the Rock and Roll Survivors Podcast, dedicated to those in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, and somewhere in between. So let's get started. Well, Patty Quatro, I am just still reeling from this incredible and magical 9-day stint in the Pacific Northwest that turned into a 3-month-long Summer of Love tour, even though it's a year better than the official
one. Wonderful.
Right. It really, really is. So, of course, Patty, you know me. I have some follow-up questions for you from the previous episode, because you said some things that I didn't follow up on, and I also want to clarify something I said. So let's just recap for a second, which is Pat O'Day. And if you did not listen to the previous episode, we're going to make you go back. But Pat O'Day, DJ extraordinaire and music raconteur, fell head over heels in love with the Pleasure Seekers. And since he had his hands in so many musical pies, as you said, he got you booked on a local TV show, as well as gigs you were playing for him. But a couple things, this is where I want to clarify. Pat O'Day invited you to stay on over the summer, and it was to tour, headline with Eric Burdon and the Animals.
Yep.
And you didn't open for them.
We were their opener. They were booked for the tour, so we were the opener, and at the same time, we were playing our own headlining gigs. It was all over the place. We were traveling everywhere.
Wow. Well, speaking of traveling, this is what I want to clarify. The TV show appearance that we talked about with Susie singing one song and you singing another song, right. I didn't mention the name, so I'm wondering if you could clarify that. And the other thing I mistakenly said was that this TV gig was in Seattle. Now, you were located in Seattle as a band, and this is Seattle, yeah. Washington, but yeah. You did the TV show in Portland, Oregon. So can you please set the record straight on this? Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, it was in Portland. I don't know the name of it. It was just a local TV show that they had us book quickly from our Seattle base because we had gigs at night. So we had to get there, do the show in the daytime, and get back for gigs.
So that answers the next question I had. So you described this hilarious incident on a puddle jumper plane that you had to take to this event. And so clarify this for me. So you were in Seattle, had to take a puddle jumper plane to Portland. So how did that even come about? Why not drive? Why not fly?
We couldn't. We didn't have time because we had to get back for another gig. Pat O'Day would arrange all that. We had probably, I don't know, one or two more TV shows. I don't even remember where, but this one was hilarious because of that little plane that flew so low, we could have landed on grass somewhere. It was hilarious.
And Susie's story is just so funny to me. And again, that's a tease to go back and listen.
No shit. Oh,
One. Well, and even though, and we're going to share this TV link with the two songs that you both did, and you say you don't remember the name of the show, so we can't give that name. But I didn't ask you this, and I'm curious, especially given the technology. Back at this time, 1968. Did you perform it live or was it lip synced?
we performed it live. There was no tape of these two songs. It's what we did live. So, and I know bands usually did lip sync. I mean, they had a hit record that they were going to lip sync or whatever. We didn't have that. So we did these two live.
And so the other question I have, you said that Pat O'Day was booking you everywhere. Did you ever do any guest appearances on radio shows?
I think we did because when he had that teen thing, there was radio stuff to do. I'm sure we did, and I don't remember which stations or anything, but yeah, there would invariably have been some radio interviews. We did press. They were always writing about us. Oh, they're going to be here today. They're going to be here tomorrow. And I mean, it was just amazing.
Incredible, and we will get to that. Well, the other thing that we briefly touched upon in the last episode, but now we are going to highlight it, was your or is your unique and wicked talents as a guitar player. And this was talked about a lot. This is not just me pulling this out. And so I want to talk about this because you have a hilarious story that we did touch upon in season one, but we are going to elaborate more with the band Canned Heat.
Oh
We
my
may
God.
save that for the next episode. I'm just teasing everybody right now. I'm not sure, but your stories are so great because they do have to do with your guitar playing. So I want you, before we talk about this in even more depth, you did talk about your playing in the last episode and how it was so unique, but we also talked about your new fan club, the Pleasure Seekers Fan Club.
Oh
Press
my
release.
God.
It was incredible, and they're as long as Pat O'Day's effusive going on and on about you at the Teen Spectacular, and they were given so much time and energy and passion and great historical accuracies, I think, for the most part. I was very, very impressed. And so I want to read from the Pleasure Seekers Fan Club press release that they wrote about you.
Oh my God, you're going to embarrass me. Go.
I'm going to totally embarrass you again because I want to start off and say that at this point, this is summer 68, you are still being referred to as Pat, PAETT,
What was I thinking?
which you came up with, and I teased you before, and I'm still going to say it, that had I not known it was Pat, I, as your one of your fan members, would have said, "Oh, I'm sure it's Payette or Payette."
Ridiculous. Oh
So,
my
in it,
God.
as I said, Pat O'Day had this incredible presser, and now there's these 5-page releases for the 5 band members of the Pleasure Seekers. They are each and every one equally as impressive as the first one that was issued. And again, we're going to read all 5, but not necessarily all today. And so I do want to start with yours, Pat, because it really does speak to your serious Pat or your Gestapo. In fact, it's mentioned in here, your mentality that we've teased you about. But again, it really does talk about your insanely wild talents and skills as a performer, as a showman. And so this is what it starts off with. Indulge me, please. Quote, Pat. Who'll take the lady with the skinny legs? This is Gestapo, and without her, there would be no pleasure seekers. She is the brains behind the group, doing all the arranging and composing of material, as well as being a perfectionist in the group together as a unit. Being lead guitarist, Pat plays one of the heaviest guitars around, wailing with strums and notes other guitarists never thought to use. Her guitar is an extension of her own hand, and her sound is, in a word, one of the funkiest around today. She puts on an extremely original performance by her treatment of the guitar as a showpiece, as well as one of the driving instruments of the group. Being self-taught, she comes on with a talent so strong, you must see it to believe it. Besides playing guitar, she is a proficient bass player and also plays organ. Her wide range enables her to sing a variety of songs, which she performs with mysterious style that is all her own. Raven-haired, brown-eyed Pat is the mysterious beauty that makes you wish you were 007 to figure her out. She is refreshingly humble, holding all her emotions inside. We will never take credit when she deserves it and takes great pride in the group as a whole. Pat is a beautiful person to watch at work for the simple reason that in her and with her work becomes mere child's play, a thing of enjoyment. She can adjust to anyone and anything at any time. And now they go back to your background. From Detroit, Michigan, Pat has lived in the music world all of her life. Her life is her music. She likes the bands Cream and the Vanilla Fudge. She loves pool. She reads comics, which I found interesting on an aside because your brother, Michael Quattro, also
Oh
read
yeah.
comics.
Yep.
I love this last part. And chews wax off of paper cups. Her great
God.
loves are strawberries and all the horrible tasting vegetables your mother used to make you eat. And then they add in pet peeve for Pat, people who talk while she's trying to watch TV. Pat, I agree with you on that one. Pat is a talent in all fields of music. She is so together, it's frightening. To see Pat, you must see the whole group because she will have it no other way. Her whole being is wrapped in the pleasure seekers, and when you see them, you'll know why.
Oh
Exclamation
my
point, exclamation
God.
point.
Oh my.
So, yes, go on, please. Just
Two things stood out when you said mysterious and 007. Do you know I have another fan club letter that said the same thing from Canada? I mean, it's weird. The mysterious persona you have. So it's funny that that came up in this thing. And the other thing that hits me is that you're going way beyond the family now of our people that supported us. This is something different. I mean, these people are spending this much time writing a resume bio thing that they find exciting on every girl in the band. I mean, we didn't expect that.
Well, and it is. I
It's a
mean,
shock.
it's such a great piece, and I can't wait to read the others as well because it really does show, as we were saying, the depth and time and care and energy that your fans put into this. It gave so many details that I love that aren't just teeny bopper stuff. You know, it's one thing that you love pool and eat strawberries and all of that. I mean, that's just adorable and cute. But the significance is how they wrote about your guitar playing and the talents that you were bringing to it. And I have to say, working with you decades later now, but knowing you for decades, they were spot on in saying that you're humble, that your whole focus was about the band, not about you, but also pointing out your incredible, unique playing talents and talking about your showmanship. So talk to us about this. Anything you want about your guitar playing, anything that they talked about with your talents.
And this is really interesting how I developed. I don't even know how I evolved what I wanted to do with the guitar being an extension of my hand. It's obvious in the tape because I'm holding it up all the time, playing that way. It's just something I started doing. I don't know if it was on purpose or it just happened organically. But every musician develops how they want to present themselves. I always wanted to add a show element because that's my daddy teaching us, you know. So often I would be playing, but then I would hold it up in the air and strum while it was up in the air, like an extension of myself. Or I would be pointing it at someone in the audience. I did that a lot, you know, just to bring them in. And I wanted to have fun while I was on stage. And then I developed this weird that has been commented on backwards way of strumming. It's like this, you know, strumming normal, but then doing this backward hand movement. It's my own, you know, and you can see it in the tape because I do it in the tape. And I do that all the time, even through the decades. That's just the way I strummed. So it was my thing.
Well, and people, as we've talked about, Leslie West from Mountain, Jeff Beck, all were just fascinated by your playing and thought you were incredible and would end up mentoring you. So clearly you were doing something right. And so this fan club you just mentioned, and you said this 007 fan,
Oh my God.
here we go. Patty and her archives. We have, is it 6 pages? I'm going to let you describe what one fan, and we're talking, I want to clarify for the listeners here. Your fan club didn't start and end in 1968. You had
No, oh no.
correspondence with these people for years, all the way up until the end. And
Yep.
you also had an affiliate, Michelle Cutlett, I think her name is. I'll get that right. Michelle, who was in Warren, Michigan. So
Yeah.
Katy Perry in Washington and Michelle in Warren, Michigan are also working together. So it was a national, and now you're telling us international pleasure seekers fan club. So, Patty, tell
Yeah.
us about this fan letter to you.
I have so many that I saved in archives, to each member. So I'll be able to share one of each. I mean, Susie got songs written to her. I mean, we had one, I'll get to them, but even from college fraternities where they all sign it and write all over the pages. I mean, they're hilarious. So this is what one from Canada wrote me, okay?
Well, hold on. Is it a guy or a girl?
It's a guy. It's a guy. Some of them are guys. We got some girl ones. One girl wrote, "Oh, please keep doing Moni Moni. It's your best song." They all had their little things to say, It was hilarious. So this guy, he writes like the first three, four pages getting to the band and what he thinks of them and just going on like a love letter, And then he starts in on trying to do the hookup, right? I mean, it's a little obvious. Patty, to quote, "Patty, you are a fantastic guitar player. Your leads show a lot of creativity and versatility. For a simple guitarist to command the band by providing so much good sound, both in rhythm and lead playing, really indicates a fine, 100% competent and exciting, self-assured guitarist. Even hearing you play your guitar so much, I never was bored because each time you add a little bit extra to differentiate a little bit from the last time you played it. A creative guitarist.
Wow.
Oh my God. I swear it's hard to read. You're a raunchy rock and roller at heart. It was interesting to try and interpret what kind of person you are from your stage behavior." Here's where he starts getting, trying to make inroads. "All
Yes.
stage behavior is indeed staged. Maybe a lot of what really is projected from the stage and can be determined provided such behavior. And I'm obsessed, I'm trying to separate reality from performance.
He,
You."
wait, I have to pause there. He said,
Oh my
I'm
God.
obsessed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, obsessed enough to separate reality from performance. "You project yourself as a beautiful woman who loves life, knows how to have a good time, is very serious about your work, has a lot of warmth, is ambitious, and seems to be searching out qu answers to many questions." I mean, he goes on and on saying he's going to play Freud and try to, and he makes his pitch. "I want to get to know you better." It goes on. I mean, it's 6 pages, for God's
That's
sakes.
incredible. That's incredible. Go ahead, keep reading.
That's just one. That's the gist of it. I mean, I could go on. It's a whole other page, He wants to separate the real Patty Quatro, except to say that you are undoubtedly an interesting, creative, and very attractive lady. I'd really like to get to know you better. But, he makes his pitch. I mean, it goes on and on,
You know what it makes me think of as you're reading this? I mean, first of all, I really should not use this word, but that's just adorable. Okay, I know that's completely condescending and I'm so sorry, but that's a lot of time and energy again. Right. But it's
Six
also
pages worth. Yeah, they're hard to read, but I got through them. Oh.
and we will maybe post some of these, and he wrote this in red, so we know it's a red pen that he was
It's
writing.
a red pen, yeah. Handwritten.
Handwritten. Well, so, but the thing that I find fascinating, because we've touched upon this before, and I think it was in the Miami article that your sister Arlene Quattro did for
Yes.
my son. And one of the headlines was "Girl fans scream, boy fans die." And it was this idea that girls will scream and cry, whereas guys, as Arlene said, one guy just stood there and stared at her for 3 hours. Like she couldn't get it right. And so it's really interesting to have this window into a male fan's perspective to a female musician.
Yeah, these are what they would like. They would take this thing of complimenting the band, and then they would get into making their pitch to whoever they were writing to, you know.
But I love that this guy was like, luring it in. Start with the wider pitch, narrow it down.
Oh my God,
Well,
hilarious.
speaking of this fan club, I can't let this go. We actually do have a flyer from one of the first flyers that went out to recruit members, and I want to read it and I will post it because it's so cool again that your fans did this. But also, as a historian, I love this so much. The language used and the artwork they used is so 1968. So it
Absolutely.
reads, quote, "The Pleasure Seekers Together Club. You've heard of them, the heaviest all-girl band on the scene today. They're climbing high and are rocking the nation. So help them climb and join their Together Club. For pics, info, schedules, buttons, just send $1 to the Pleasure Seekers Club," and this is Kathy's address, which she gives, and she ends with, "and we'll do the rest." And so, Patty, I mean, they were taking their job as a fan club very seriously, including that one fan changed his name, which I want you to tell us about.
Oh my God. I can't even believe it. I don't even know how to pronounce it. He changed his name to a Plezique. It's Pleasique. Like pleasure seek. Plez.
Physique.
Oh, it's just weird. You know, combining pleasure and seekers. Very odd. And he went by that the whole time for years. Yeah. Oh my God.
Actually, it's odd and also very original for that time, going with one name and also combining the names. I just think that's really cool. Well, we
Hilarious.
have other band members. Again, there were five of you to read from the Pleasure Seekers Together fan club, because again, it really does give a window. And that's why I want to read this. Yes, it's fun, but into your individual personalities. And again, it shows the time, depth, and investment that Pat O'Day and his associates were in promoting you and elevating you to the next level, but also what the fans were gaining from you. So this one, because you're the guitar player of the group, but so was Pammy Benford, Pammy and Bird. And so I want to read what they wrote about her, which I think is equally as fantastic and so different, which again really shows the time they put into it. So it starts off, and it makes me laugh so hard. So it starts off, "Pammy. Pammy Untogether and the Bird." And those are in quotes. And then it says in another quote, "Love can be found anywhere, even in a guitar." And then it says, "This is the story of Pammy and her bird, Birdland guitar. Her life is wrapped up in her bird, which is evident the moment she begins to play. Her speed is phenomenal, as if each finger is racing to see who can finish first. She knows music theory proficiently enough to rank her among the top guitarists in the country today. When Pammy begins to play, it is obvious that she has had excellent training, 2 years' worth. She is also the main bassist of the group, being self-taught, which makes her one of the most versatile group girls around. Pammy goes from bass to lead to rhythm guitar without flinching an eyelash. She is the anchor of the group who keeps them on the ground. Pert, blonde-haired, brown-eyed, she is like a little China doll, cute as a button. Her beauty is often compared to that of Nancy Sinatra's. Pammy is a quiet, moody person with an inquisitive nature that stimulates any conversation. Her nickname, quote, Untogether, close quote, typifies her talent," this made me laugh so hard, "of wearing the wrong shoes on stage and wondering why everyone is laughing or singing into a microphone that's not there." A Detroit, Michigan girl, Pam has loved music since an early age and worked with several bands before coming to the Pleasure Seekers. Her favorite artists are Hendrix, the Butterfield Blues Band, and the Amboy Dukes. She loves all sports, especially horseback riding, loves to cook and watch old Ginger Rogers movies on TV. Now, here are Pammy's pet peeves. Anyone who thinks the bird is just a guitar. She also hates clothes that don't fit right. And she adds, two-faced people who betray your trust. Pammy is the only girl on earth who needs 16 hours of sleep a day. Patty, you're nodding your head at all of this.
Oh my
And
God.
of her career, Pammy says, quote, "At this stage of the game, music is my prime concern and will be for some time. Music is the great outlet for me in helping me with my emotions in a constructive manner." That's ending Pammy. And then the Paige says, whatever Pammy does, she does it well. She becomes very involved in her own thing, and her thing is evident the moment she steps on any stage. Close
Oh
quote.
my God, Pammy. She was so obsessed with her bird guitar and her playing and all of it. She was a very serious girl. I found her to be very highly intelligent, always, and very introspective. You could always have a deep, meaning conversation with Pammy. She would go there instantly. And I mean, these things floored me. They took so much time knowing each girl and what they were about. I mean, they really, because they did spend time with us at the gigs and in between sets. I mean, they got to know us pretty well.
It's very nuanced. I keep saying that I just so much respect that they put this together. And we are, as we have mentioned, Pammy and the bird are still very much in the picture. And we will have comments from her about all of this down the line, which is wonderful because I'd love to hear her take on it. I want to hear her take on you as well. But the part of this story on today's episode that I do want to focus on, because now we are pulling back the lens a little bit of things to come. And so, as we mentioned, the Pleasure Seekers Fan Club was started on the 9-day stint of Pat O'Day's Teen Spectacular, even though we were then held over. But something that happened on this 9 days of magic is something that would become a spark for another Quatro sister, the youngest of the group, Nancy Quatro, who at the time was what, 15 and a half, 16 at best. And so you get booked on this Teen Spectacular, and Nancy and your mom, Helen, come to Seattle to see all of you and the other teen bands in Seattle, and they stayed for the 9 days. So tell us anything what you remember about this trip, how it happened, anything to set the stage of what Nancy will soon be desiring to do with her own musical career.
Well, we stayed in the hotel, obviously, and Nancy, they decided to fly in and visit to see it. I mean, my dad was working, so he didn't come. And he'd seen us so many times anyway. And they got to see the reactions and the crowds. And I think Nancy was pretty amazed, as she looked it all over. I mean, she's impressionable at that age, and how amazing it was. It was escalating to this new level. And she'd been the only sister not in the band. She was the one left at home. I think she definitely, it opened her eyes and she sparked on all of it, as we'll discover when she joins us. But nothing like this Teen Spectacular and its gravitas as a major event with her sisters headlining. It was definitely an eye opener for her.
You know what this makes me think of, and I get chills thinking about it. And
What?
I say this story a lot because it is you and you're the band leader and your epiphany at the Beatles concert in 1964 at Olympia in Detroit. And you were 16. So you're exactly the same age that Nancy is now at this moment in time. And you had the epiphany seeing all these screaming fans and these four lads on the stage saying, "That's what I want to do." You had your spark. And now Nancy is getting her spark and epiphany from seeing her sisters and the Pleasure Seekers play live.
And boy, what fun stuff. And something else, oh, I hit, shall I add the story of another?
Yes, but I do. Before we,
Oh my
I do.
God.
I just want you, though, to un everybody to understand that Nancy at this point is there visiting the Pleasure Seekers. She's just staying in the hotel. She's still only 16. She's still sweet and naive, or whatever that means for a Detroit girl. But yes, please tell us the story about Nancy in the hotel and a band and a drummer from Iron Butterfly.
Oh my God. This is another penis story. We had the one with Susie in New York. I mean, we're always, why us? Why us? But, it's rock and roll.
Because you're gorgeous, you're hot.
Well, she was just innocently roaming the hotel halls, right? And suddenly she turns a corner, and here comes one of the Iron Butterfly band guys strolling down the hall nude, just strolling along like nobody's business. I swear, Nancy did freak out a bit. She went, she went back, got back in her room, and we laughed our butts off by this time because we'd already had experience with this kind of stuff. You know, it's rock and roll. Now, welcome to the rock and roll life, Nancy.
Hilarious, and it really does remind me of you and Susie, your first trip to New York as you're walking down the street and your
Oh.
exposure to a penis. Again, go back for those who haven't listened. This is just hilarious. And really, the sustaining question should be, what is it about the Quattro girls and penises?
Our education, yeah. Oh my God, it was hilarious. We had to laugh at her because we understood it all by then, and
That's
she's like,
hilarious.
"Oh my God, oh my God."
Well, and also, let's not say that she was that. I mean, she was innocent because she was young. But soon thereafter, she would be leaving your parents' house with
Oh
10 kittens.
yeah. And this was just like, you know, and she just didn't expect to see that in the hallway, you
Don't
know,
think anybody
walking
did.
along and bam, he's coming at her nude, you know.
Well, one piece of memorabilia that I found as you and I were gearing up for these episodes was this 9-day itinerary of this teen spectacular that your mom and Nancy saw every single day. And there it is in black and white. And of course, we're going to post it. You were headlining with Canned Heat and Tommy Boyd and Bobby Hart and others, including Marilee Rush and the Turnabouts. And we had talked about that on the last episode. A 17-year-old fan of yours named Steve Barone said that you, the Pleasure Seekers, and Marilee Rush were as good, if not better, than any male bands he had ever seen. He said they could not compete with your talents. And it's interesting, and I just want you to talk a little bit about this, that Pat O'Day was responsible for not only pushing Marilee Rush, but he would be responsible for pushing you. I love the fact that he understood talents of female musicians.
Yeah, he was Kathy was very good friends with Marilee Rush, our fan club girl, and so she stayed friends with her for years and years, and we got to know Marilee too because we played bills with her all around the Northwest. So, I mean, he was really pushing us, but she already had a hit record out, Angel of the Morning. So it was interesting that he was pushing us. Ours hadn't turned into a hit yet, and pushing us hard. And we were above, we were headlining by the end of the spectacular and gigs we'd play. But we did play with Marilee too. She was great. We had fun, got to know her pretty dang well.
I also love the fact that, and maybe I'm putting words into Pat O'Day's mouth, but I like the fact that it was not tokenizing female musicians.
No.
There was this idea, and it remained in the music biz when it was still a dominant male suits idea of you had like your token female band. So you had Marilee Rush, that would have been enough. But Pat O'Day saw her and saw the Pleasure Seekers and said, these are fantastic musicians.
He never made it. He never made it about gender, I have to say. When you read the PR and everything, he didn't go there. Yeah.
He really didn't. Well, we've been teasing about this wonderful story as you've been headlining about Canned Heat, such a fantastic band. But let's remember, all of these bands
Oh,
are
great.
new at the time, right? And so there you are, you're performing. And again, we did talk about this briefly on season one when I kept saying to you, wait, 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 save it for season three. We'll get to it. But
My
I
gosh.
want you to tell it again, especially in the context of everything that we've spoken about on this episode. So it's about you, Patty, your talents, the way you held your guitar, the way you played your guitar, what was expected of you in terms of being female musicians, but set the stage for this Canned Heat moment.
Well, they were on the bills with us, and eventually, as the days went by, they became the warm-up band, and they had a hit out on the road again. It was hitting. So that was a shocker in itself. So something happened with the Canned Heat's guitarist, Henry Vestine, I think his name was, and he asked suddenly to borrow my guitar for his set. So he borrowed it. Something had happened to his. I don't even know what. And he gives it back to me. They do their set. He gives it back. We start our set. And I go during my song to, like, it was a maneuver I did where it looked like I'm throwing it, but I'm actually catching it with, you know, I have my hand on the neck. And it kept going
Well,
forward.
clarify the strings that you
Well,
put
the
strings on.
strings I had, well, I will clarify. It went forward and it fell on the stage floor. I about shit, you know. I picked it back up, and believe it or not, it was still in tune, and I continued on playing. What had happened was he had cut, I had strings that sort of firmly held the strap in place just in case, because I would move it and grab it and stuff. And I just wanted to make sure, you know, a strap could come loose and fall off in the middle of a performance. I was ready to kill him. He had cut all of those because he didn't know what they were for. And he was so embarrassed. So embarrassed. And, you know, it was pretty hilarious. I mean, I forgave him because it was okay. It was still in tune and I was able to pick it up. And I just kept playing, you know, the
Was there
show
any
must
response?
go on.
The show must go on, but did the fans say any? Did they? Was there an audible gasp?
Probably. I mean, you know, it was on the floor, face down. Boom. Oh my God. He could have died. He didn't know what they were for. He was just, oh, what is this stuff for you? And he cut it all.
Okay, well, first of all, I just have to, come on, guy. Wouldn't you ask somebody first before you say, what are these strings for? Because Patty probably has no idea what she's doing. I don't know. I know that was not what he was thinking, but oh my God.
Yeah, I was pretty mad at first. He was embarrassed. He was
Of
very embarrassed.
course.
He should have asked me, yes.
Of course. Of course.
God.
I love that.
Maybe I wasn't around. Maybe I was over doing something because they were doing their set. I don't know what happened, but yeah, I was pissed.
I still would have picked the option of why don't I not cut the strings just in case?
Exactly.
In
Exactly.
case
You know, just
the person.
play. It didn't stop you from playing. They were around the strap and attached somehow. You know, it wouldn't have bothered him.
That is. Well, we can laugh now, but I would have been really pissed. So.
Yes,
And
yes.
so, as we talked about, you're now touring with Eric Burdon and the Animals along with your other gigs. I mean, Eric Burdon and the Animals at this moment in time were big, but were they as big as they? I mean, who were they to you? Who was the band to you? Were you fans? Did you know about them prior to headlining or opening up for them?
We knew every single British band. I mean, our attitude toward doing the male bands and what we wanted to perform ourselves. Of course, we knew about Eric. He was terrific, great singer. His group was good. We were excited as hell that we were going to play with them. It was great. You
That's,
know, another British icon band, you know.
I love it. I love it. And so this is a funny story to me, although the song is about the war and about men and in the war. But will you please tell us about, you covered their song.
Oh my God.
So please tell us about this. And you covered it in front of them.
In front of, oh my God, this is so blasphemous to do this to another band. And they took it in stride. They didn't, you know, get mad or anything, but it was pretty nervy of us. We did do the song in our set. And Susie would sing it and make the airplane noises. She did sound effects in the song. Sky pilot. Rah! She would do this in the song, and the fans loved it. Every time we would do it, they just loved our version. But, you know, I don't know. They never got real mad about it or anything because, you know, their set was later. I don't know where in our set we did it, but it was a little bit nervy of us.
That's pretty nervy, although it's pretty funny. I mean, we could say that it's, female rockers poking fun at men in war, and they're.
I don't know why we did it, but we did. Susie was nervy. She would do that. She wasn't going to stop her performance, you
Oh,
know,
of course not.
how she did the song.
I just
So,
think it's also very funny. I mean, there sometimes you have to laugh at really serious songs too, and I just think it's hilarious. Patty, we have so much more to come on this Summer of Love tour that you did with Eric and the Animals and other gigs, events, happenings, more fan club press. I mean, so much more. But for now, we talked about touring with Eric Burdon and the Animals, and this is 68. But one of the things I really want you to focus on now is this idea that, I mean, from 1964, when you started, and now you're in 1968, and this probably seems so obvious to state, but music is changing so rapidly. Cultural shifts are seismic. We are in war right now, and there's still much, so much more still to come for the pleasure seekers. But for now, why don't you close this episode out and tell us about any kind of Eric and the band attitudes toward you? Did they love you? Did you draw big crowds? Tell us anything you want, because I want to pretend that I was there.
We had great crowds always, lots of fans following us. The gigs were always sold out, packed. Pat O'Day was thrilled as hell. And the interesting epiphany for us was being very now aware of the cultural shifts you just mentioned. And the changing music was coming out in a heavier vein. And we had Pat O'Day's voice in our ears as well, tuning in to the new movement of rock music. So we definitely were affected, and we realized we had to now start writing our own material. And we did start to do that during this tour. We wanted to reach that next step with our own music and have hit records of our own. So we were determined to move in that direction very quickly. And great clarity in that, in the band, while playing to younger and terribly receptive audiences and a fan club. Who knew? In this amazing summer of love, we enjoyed all of it to the max. And to put it in the vernacular of the times, it was out of sight, all of it.
He blesses the boys as they stand in line. The smell of gun grease and their bayonets, they shine. He's there to help them all that he can. To make them feel wanted, he's a good holy man. Find courage in the words that he said.